All right, we're in for something special today. I have a friend here. We have a friend here. You can bring that out if you want, Pastor Allen. Go for it. Hey, Pastor Allen's carrying a table right now. Way to go. That's the hardest part in the church in this whole Sunday morning, by the way, because he's going to get it in the wrong spot, and I'm going to move it. It's going to be awkward. Tape, there it is, ding, ding, ding. Today we've got someone special who's come here. He was actually with us at Consumed a couple years ago, but this is my friend. He has been my friend for a long time, actually. I was his coach at camp. We battled it out on the field. First I played against him, and then I decided if you can't beat him, join him, and joined his team at Nanoose Bay camp. We got some Nanoose folk. Let's try this one on for size then. Try this one on for size then. Seahawks? See what? Seahawks. Lucas has been my friend since camp. He's been my friend since forever. He moved to Victoria when I started out as a youth pastor at Glad Tidings Church. It was with Shauna and Lucas by my side, and we stepped into ministry. We started building together. We started dreaming together. Lucas lived in my basement, and we ate Lucky Charms almost all the time. Anyone for Lucky Charms? I would have got more cheers like 10 years ago. Now it's like, no, gluten-free, please. Thank you. But anyways, we were Lucky Charms. That's, sorry, forgive me. But he's become one of my, he is one of my best friends. I got to be in his wedding. We've gotten to celebrate many stages of life together. My kids called him when he was coming and said, Uncle Lucas, we need to go for breakfast. It's just going to be awesome. And so today I want you to help me welcome one of my best buds and someone who I really believe God has put here for this day for you. Can you help me with a real warm, consumed welcome, Lucas Bonet?
Come on, Luke. Let's go. Do it again. Knock him dead again. Here we go.
Oh, man. I have to say something right from the start. Arthur Christmas. Okay? That's the only thing you need to know. Santa Claus, second place. I don't even remember the other two because who cares? Vote for Arthur Christmas. It is the movie Northgate. Can I get an amen? Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Polar what? Praying for you later. I'm honored to be here this morning. I'm thankful to be here this morning. This is a great church. This is a great conference. And I just believe any church that's going to take a whole weekend to put everything aside to say, hey, we want to pour into the next generation, that's a church I like. That's a church I think that gets it. That's a church I think that understands what needs to move forward. And so if you're in here and if you came to Consumed, it is your opportunity right now with me. We need to get up on our butt, on our feet, and we need to honor not just Northgate, but every single leader that brought you. You need to look at your youth pastor right now and you say, you're the real MVP. Come on, get up off your feet. Show them some love. If you serve this weekend, we love you. If you're part of it, we love you. We can do better. Come on. I see youth workers, youth leaders. Look at your youth leader right now and say, you are the best. You are the real MVP. Thank you, Northgate. Thank you, youth pastor, for bringing me. Thank you, Alan. Look at your youth leader or youth pastor, whoever it is right now, and say, you're the real MVP. You brought me here. Come on. Well, second place, Jesus, but, you know, whatever. That's a guaranteed. Oh, man. I want to show you a quick photo of my family. I think we got some pictures of my sweet kids. I do this to butter you guys up so you like me more. Oh, man. Ooh. That's my daughter, Georgia. That's my son, Bo. Yeah, they're the best. That's all of us. Take that one off. Just look at the kids. Actually, Trina's, come on. But, like, look at Georgia last night. She woke up at 10:30 and put lip gloss all over her face. That's kind of our life story with her. She's constantly stealing things out of different shops in the mall. It's really, I'm praying for her. I'm worried. Not going to lie to you. Bowman is just the sweetest boy ever. Georgia and Bo, my beautiful wife, Trina. And now hopefully you like me a whole lot more. Okay, I'll listen. I'll get off my phone. I am such a fan of this church, everyone here, this whole front row is just all stars. I just love every single person, but I do want to honor Pastor Ev for a moment. Man, I'm a byproduct of Evan and Kendall, not literally. Some of the kids are like, what's he mean? Doesn't matter. I am so thankful for Pastor Evan. Like he said, he was my counselor and coach at camp. Oh my goodness. He has led me. Kendall has fed me. I honestly rented a room from them. He was the best man at my wedding. Like he said, all these things, but I need you to know, I really love him. And so many people will say, will come up here and guest speakers are like, oh, they have to honor. Why do they do that? Listen, they're all a bunch of liars. I actually know this guy. I've known him since I was, like, I've known him more than half my life. Like, I love it when people say, oh, he's twice the man he is behind the pulpit. And can I just say, Evan is everything you see every day, every moment. He is an incredible dad. He's an incredible friend. He's an incredible husband. He's an incredible lead pastor. And I firmly believe he's one of the best leaders in this nation. And I honestly, if you go to Northgate, I hope you love him. I hope you bring him black Americanos all the time because this guy is one of a kind. You have no idea how lucky you are. Come on, can we show some love for Pastor Ev? Because he's the man. And I love him so much. And so if you, I may even embrace his hairstyle one day. May just dive right in. If you love me this morning, it's all him. If you don't like me that much, then that's why Daniel does the internship. And you've moved on. All right, let's go here. If you've been here all weekend, it's been an incredible conference. Set Apart has been our theme. If you're new this morning, you've just joined in, if you're just here for church, this theme has been a powerful one. It's something I think this generation needs, the next generation needs. It's something we all need. It's this kind of Christian theme. It's a common theme in Christianity, this idea of it's attached with holiness. It's attached to honoring God with everything we say, everything we do. It's living holy. It's this idea of us being set apart from the world. Not living as culture would say. Not doing it as society is maybe saying that we should on social media or anywhere else. But living after a life that God has called us to live. And we could look at all sorts of verses. And I know even Pastor James yesterday kind of mentioned this one. Romans 12, verse 2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And we read this and we love this verse. Yeah, do not conform. Be different. Say no. What I don't know, like we see this and we think, I need to live set apart. I need to get away from it all. I need to push away, stay away from the world. But friends, can I tell you something this morning? We don't just need to do what it says. We need to know why it says what it says. We need to know how to live it out. And more than that, we need to recognize that Romans 12:2 is not the start of Romans 12. Friends, we forget Romans 12:1. And I think it's the most important part of the psalm. In fact, all of Romans 1 to 11 is basically this beautiful picture of the gospel. Paul's writing it to the church, and he's saying, listen, we recognize a few things. He continues to talk about the goodness of God. He says verses like, we all fall short of the glory of God. It says things like, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We love that one. I love that one too. My favorite, Romans 5:8, for God demonstrated his love for us. Because for Christ died while we were still sinners. Come on, somebody. Romans 8, nothing, no height nor depth, no angels, no demons can hold you back from the love of God. We love all those. They're on our bumpers. We put them on our Facebook profile pictures. We take a picture of the ocean, a little bit of Romans 8. We're going to get at least 20 likes. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a good day. And then we get to Romans 12, and we get Romans 12:2. But friends, it says something so important. All of this is leading up to Romans 12:1. It says this. Therefore, after reading all verses 1 through 11, or chapters 1 through 11, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Friends, it's in view of mercy that we do not conform to the patterns of this world. It's in the view of mercy and grace. It's because of the gospel has done something in our life. It's because the love of Jesus, the love that went to the cross for you and for me, it's because of that action, that motive, that incredible moment in time that you and I can now begin to live a life that's set apart. In view of God's mercy, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. You need to hear this morning. See, Paul is actually referencing the Old Testament way of sacrifice. What they would do is a priest or a worshiper would come and bring a spotless animal, and they kill it, and that's the way their sin was atoned for. But then Jesus came, friends. Then Jesus came and became the final sacrifice, the final lamb, if you will. He died, so guess what? We could live. Friends, Christianity is not about wrong going right. It's about the dead becoming alive. And what you need to hear this morning, if we're going to live set apart, what you need to hear right now is that we don't need to die for God, but we need to live fully alive for God. Man, if we want to live a life, man, we don't need to die to ourselves and be set apart and walk over in the corner and live this holy life where no one sees it. So no, don't die for God, but be fully alive for God. Be a living sacrifice for all to see. We had a conference here this weekend, right? Can somebody hear what I'm saying this morning? We don't need to die to God, but be fully alive for God. This is the whole point. He's saying, listen, yeah, don't conform, sure, but remember the mercy. Remember the gospel. In view of that, let mercy be your motivation. Let it be your mandate. Let it be your mission. Yeah, let's honor God in all we do, but make sure we're not just living this happy, holy life that's alone. That's not what he's saying. And so if you hear anything this morning, it's this. Yeah, let's be set apart, but not set aside. Not set aside from the culture. How are we going to change the culture if we're not a part of it? Yeah, I want to be set apart. Yeah, I want to live obedient to God. Yes, I want to live a holy life. Yes, I want to live according to his ways and his perfect and pleasing will. But if I live set aside, I'm not actually going to be able to live out the calling of God in my life. Friends, we want to be set apart. Amen? But we can't be set aside. We cannot be set aside. God does not call us to be set aside. He says, live your life. Be a living sacrifice. This is the way you worship me properly and true. I want to be different, sure, but not indifferent. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just going to live over here. I'm going to do my thing. Friends, that's not the way we've been called to live. That's not the way we've been called to actually be engaged. I want to be Christ-centered, but culturally engaged. I want to be a part of what's happening in the community. We can't change something if we're not a part of it. I recently was busing this group of kids to their soccer game, and so I'm in the bus driving them, and they go out and they play soccer, and they come back in, and the kid, this one kid who kept talking to me, he's like, "We lost, Pastor Lucas, we lost." I'm like, "Oh man, I'm so sorry. Like, what? Did you have fun? I don't care. Did you have fun? Why'd you lose? What's going on? I'm kind of competitive. Okay, I like to win. My bad. All I do is win. It doesn't matter. Oh, 2 years at camp, didn't lose a game. Just saying. All right." Catch, though. This is, looks expensive. And I'm like, what happened? What happened? Batman Ninja. He wanted to be called Batman Ninja all week long, so I went with it. What happened, man? What happened? We're not very good. I'm like, clearly, you lost all games today. Like, they play multiple games. I'm like, what's going on? What's up with your team? Well, we're team blue, and red just, you know, kicking our butt, and everyone's playing forward. We're always getting beat on the one side. I'm the only one playing defense. He's just stressing out. And so I'm like, this is what you do. And I start explaining. Spread out the field. Use one another, okay? Get up. Like, if they're beating the left side, go to the left side. Like, block it up. Come on, let's do something here. And the next day, day two, he goes out. Lost every game. Day three? Lost every game. Day four? Lost every game. That's it! Like, I'm just fired up. I'm like, by the way, this is a Church of UBS Spring Glow Camp. That's what this was. But I went out there. I'm like, Pastor Nilo, get over here. Break the clipboard. See ya. Take a walk. Team Blue on me. So I bring him in. Listen, this is no longer Team Blue. This is Team Lou. We're going to do things my way. Shh. Batman, shh. Listen. Like, are you ready to play? Shut up! We're working here! I didn't actually say that. I said, be quiet! Because shut up's way too rude for church people. Okay. Team Lou, this is what we're going to do. And I start telling them, we're going to kick her in the clavicle. Move. I'm just kidding. We didn't say that either. I told him how we're going to win, what we're going to do, how we're going to play. And so I'm in it. I'm playing. I'm like, well, coaches once in a while jump in, right? So I'm like, the ball's going towards our net. Oh, so close, Billy. Go, go, Batman Ninja. Let's go. So I'm coaching. I'm working. I'm playing. I'm touring. Had a couple goals myself. No big deal. They were grade 2 or 3. So they were like, they knew what they were doing. Listen, Team Blue did not lose a single game that day. You know what I'm saying? Sorry, Team Lou. We won. Yeah, all day long. It's true, it happened. This literally happened. I'm kind of competitive. But the thing is, you can't really change anything unless you become a part of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to change something about yourself, you have to actually get involved. You can't just be like, I love to do this or that. I love to be more involved. I love to learn more scripture, so I should just never read this ever. Friends, we can't change something if we're not a part of it. If you're going to set yourself aside, then you don't even worry about being set apart. If you're going to just push yourself to the side and not work, like, friends, if we want to change a culture, if we want to change a school, if we want to be a part of something incredible, if we want to be a part of a movement that happens across our Vancouver Island, then we got to be not just set apart, but we got to make sure that we're not set aside. We got to be involved. We got to be, can't be indifferent. We have to be involved and engaged in every single way, friends. We got to be a part of this. I'm so sick and tired of people. I want to live this way, but their whole life looks apart and alone, and they're just doing their own thing in this little corner. Friends, we got to get in, we got to engage in our community. We got to talk to the people we don't normally talk to at school. We got to stretch out at work. We have to do all these things because we have to become involved. I want to live set apart, but not set aside. Please, can we not be that generation? Please, can we not be that type of church? Please, can we not be that type of community? And when I was thinking today of what I wanted to really get into, what I really wanted to say to you, where the context of our verses were going to be, I wanted to go in this one direction, but God kept bringing me to the book of Colossians. And I think it's for a specific reason. I just want to share this really quick with, specifically over Northgate. This church, this place, was once a bustling town, and it was quite full of people and everything, and it was a trade town, people going through, but it became quite close to two larger cities as well. And because of that, this place kind of began to, I don't know, just kind of lose some people, lose some fervor, if you will. It wasn't as busy, wasn't as bustling as it used to be, but it was right in the middle. Right in the middle, and it's so interesting that their church, which Paul writes to them here in Colossians, he writes to them specifically from prison when he's in Rome. And he writes this letter because they're under a bit of attack, but also because this church, this place, he loves them and thanks them so much because they're actually a part of church planting and moving forward in churches like in Laodicea and other places around. This church, this place, was a catalyst for so much more, yet it wasn't the biggest. Hear me this morning, Northgate. You may not be the biggest church on the island, but can I tell you, your impact, your reach will far surpass anything you could ever imagine. I so believe this to be true. This may not be the biggest site you ever have. Think about that for a second. You may plant a church that outgrows you, and that is not a bad thing. Friends, your influence, and in the North Island, it's funny, we South Islanders think you guys come up island to us. It's like, oh, you're coming up to Victoria? No, we're coming down, Lou, okay? You're closer to America than Duncan. Chill out. Like, this whole North Island, all these incredible places, all the ports and all the rivers, you know, like, I so believe that there's something profound in this place and a reach that's going to go so much farther than you could ever ask for or imagine. I believe that this is not the only valley you're going to have a part to play in. I believe that the Alberni Valley, friends, the Cowichan Valley, that these places up and down, that this is the influence that you carry. So don't hold it back. Don't be scared of your stretch. And even though you may be like, well, people are talking about Courtney Northgate, friends, they're going to talk about so many other churches, so many souls are being saved. I so believe that this place has a beautiful reference to who you are. In Colossians, Paul writes this, and I think these are kind of three main ways that we can begin to live set apart, but not set aside. In Colossians 3, verse 1, it says, since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Basically saying, in view of God's mercy, remember this, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Listen, Consume Conference, this is important. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, but now, in view of God's mercy, things change. This is the life you once lived. Friends, the first way we need to live apart but not aside is we need to die to self. Death to self-gratification, friends. You are not the most important thing in the world. Yeah. You said it. Your needs are not the most important thing right now. If you are your primary focus, you'll start worshiping yourself. That's a dangerous road. That's not a life that's set apart. Life cannot be all about you. Life cannot be all about me. We need to understand this is the calling. This is what God is asking us to do. He says death to all of our earthly nature. He's saying all the things that you desire, all these things that become, honestly, a god. That's what idolatry means, friends. Is when we replace God with something that he's created. We replace the creator with the created thing and begin to worship it. Our own success, our own popularity, It could even be something good like family and friends or football. It doesn't matter. But friends, this is what happens, and we become our own primary focus, and our own self-gratification, our own just daily satisfaction is all we work at, all we think about, all we take care of. This is a problem. This is not a life that's set apart. But what if we spent less time trying to maximize likes on Instagram? What if we care less about our popularity and started talking to that student who has no friends, who's been eating lunch alone since September, that you see every single day, and you know God's calling you to go make a difference in their life, yet, I don't talk to them. That would look bad on me. What if Northgate, if some of you in here, what if your business was known more for its generosity than its profits? What if the marriages in here were known more about how they selflessly cared and gave rather than self-indulge? What if we cared less about ourselves and more about the plan and the life that God is calling us to live? If our needs are all we need, we're in trouble. I so believe that we can do this. I so believe that we can die to self. I so believe that God is calling us to live this type of life. Colossians 3:8, moving forward, says, "But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander." And then he goes on to say, "And filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self." Notice that every single time he brings in mercy, he brings in the gospel. He's reminding us, God's changed us, remember? He's moving us. Like Pastor Evan was saying, this is not the end, this is the start. And you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, in the image of its creator. Now, one way I think we can live apart, not aside, is that we have constant Christ-centered conversations.
Like, he must have heard us last night. Oh man, he heard us last night.
Friends, this is probably the most important one I'm going to say today. And I think it's the most important, or it's definitely the most tangible. It's the most real. It's something that you can put into practice even right now. Every single demographic in this room, every single person here, this is, you're able to do this. This is something we can begin right away. Constant, Christ-centered conversations. Friends, I want to be a generation. I want to be a part of the generation that's more known for encouragement than put-downs. I want to be a part of a place, a church, and a family that's more known for honor than is for hurtful words. I want to be a person who's set apart in what comes out of my mouth. They don't say stuff like that. That's just not who they are. It's not what they do. I so believe that words change things. I've told the story before, but it's true and it's so powerful. Words really do have the power of life and death. In grade 6, I was placed beside desk mates with this girl named Stephanie. I did not want to be beside Stinky Stephanie, as we called her in grade 6. Yeah, that's what we called her. She had dandruff. She smelled bad. I didn't want to be beside her. Judged her so hard, made fun of her behind her back. No one wanted to be by. I was like, "Mr. Bowen, this isn't gonna work for me. This is bad for my image. Do you know who I am?" He's like, "No, it's September. Shut up. Do your math. I'm not gonna do math. Just for the rest of the month, I'm not gonna do it." Because he put me aside, Stephanie. I was upset. I remember actually going to him and being like, "Can I change?" And it's interesting. I don't know even how it all happened. Grade 6, God just like literally, I don't know when it was, just changed my heart. Just said like, "Be nice. Do something different. Don't be like every other person that just makes fun of her." And so I just decided that day, if I saw her, I was going to wave and say hi. Least I could do, right? And so I remember going to the washroom for the 7th time during math class. And there's Stephanie. And so I waved and said hi. "Hi, Stephanie." That's how kids wave in grade 6. They don't even know how their hand goes. It's like, "Hi. Hi, Stephanie." A week later, she's sitting beside me and said, "Why'd you say hi?" "Hi, I don't know. Just felt like I should." She said, "I was going to kill myself because no one had talked to me once all year. But then you said hi. At the end of that day, I was going to end my life, but you said hi. Why'd you do that?" Don't tell me words don't have the power between life and death. I've seen it. That's just one example in grade six. Friends, don't tell me that words don't change a room. Don't tell me that encouragement doesn't uplift your soul when you get it. Don't tell me that words and constant Christ-centered conversation can't change a life, because I know someone whose life had changed. And sometimes we need to challenge each other in words. It's not just about, hey, you're awesome, great hairdo today, I like your hat, cool shoes. It's not like, that's not what I'm talking about. Sometimes we need to get into the deep stuff. Hey, I saw you saying something, and I didn't like that. Why do you keep making fun of that person? When are we going to stand up and be set apart and be willing to put our own, again, popularity in line to stand up for someone else's purpose? When are we going to do that in schools? When are we going to do that at work? When are we going to be, I can't stand this kind of, I don't know, weird vibe that marriages always have about, oh, she said this and I can't take him anywhere nice. When are our marriages going to be about uplifting encouragement and thinking the world of one another? Even this Bible, I love this Bible. I've had this for a long time. It is worn out. And at the very front of this Bible, two men wrote in it because they bought it for me, and Pastor Evan was one of those guys that gave me this Bible. I have had this since I was 18. That's a long time ago. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. And he doesn't just write like, hey, this is for you, bud. Go eat some Lucky Charms. Like, that's not what he said, although we probably shared Lucky Charms during this moment. Yeah, we did. Yeah, okay. Lou, you've become one of my best buds. I'm so proud of what God has done in your life this year. Man, I so believe that prayer works. God answers prayers, and it may not always be the way you think he will, though sometimes it is, as we saw this year in your life. It's another sermon, another time. You're a man of character, you're disciplined in prayer, and you're a loyal friend. I know you'll always stand by me, and I'll always stand by you. That's true kind of fellowship. That's a true brotherhood. I want to encourage you with Hebrews. It talks about you being righteous, set apart, and knowing God, good from evil. You're only able to do these things because you've matured. Listen to this. He says that no matter what person lets you down, you can still stand on the word of God. You're past needing to be fed milk, as Hebrews talks about, but now you're into the real stuff. You're into the meat. So go and do it. Don't wait anymore. I pray you only grow stronger. I love you a ton, man. That man wrote that. That's encouraging, yeah, but it's challenging. It's like, hey, don't settle. Don't just say one thing and do another. Like, go live it now. You've experienced the goodness of God. This isn't the end, Luke. This is the start. Like he said to you this morning, don't tell me words don't have power, life, and death. Don't tell me words don't mean something. They do. Finally, it says this, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I love this part. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Friends, if we want to be set apart but not set aside, we need to have grace upon grace upon grace upon grace for one another. Let grace and love lead you. Let grace and love be the thing that leads you to wherever you may go next. Friends, I love what it says about grievances and forgiving one another. I think there's people even in here that have had a grievance against them. That's the thing that's holding them back from taking the next step in their faith. That's maybe the next step to take from their leadership. I was even talking to someone recently about how someone wouldn't forgive someone because of their grandma or something, and I realized that grievances last generations. Oh, man, that's ugly. I don't want that. I don't want my kids to have to deal with my grievances. I don't want their kids to have to deal with my grievances. I want to forgive people. I want to be someone, and I'm not saying I'm great at this, who jumps at the idea of forgiveness, who literally leans in when they want to share a burden, who I can be like, I got you, that was on me, I'm so sorry, or hey, I forgive you, that happened, but we'll work out logistics later because I'm still a little mad, but right now I know there's something that's prompting me to lean into this, and it's love and it's grace. What would happen if we stopped picking each other apart and we're actually played a part in this idea of forgiveness? What would happen if we stopped judging people? Instead, we led by love and grace. Man, we changed the world. We changed the island. I'm letting the worship team to come up. I understand this is a lot. But I really believe there's someone in here even today that they need to hear that. You're holding something against somebody. Forgive them as Christ forgave you. His wounds have paid your ransom. Remember that. It's our time to be people who forgive and who lean in and bring grace to each other. I understand this is a lot. It's like Christ-centered conversations and forgiveness upon forgiveness and to death to self. Like, what? That's a lot. That's heavy. That's a lot. But let me give you three thoughts real quick on how we do this, how we start tomorrow. This is important, friends. Right here. Students, right here. Listen to me. We got to do this daily. Give your heart a daily restart. Every single day. You messed up the day before. It's okay. Grace for you as well. Come on, we need to forgive ourselves. We need to, like, God forgive us, and we need to move forward. Give your heart a daily restart and say, God, today I want to be set apart, not set aside. God, today I want to be set apart, not set aside. And every day, repeat it. Every day, say it. Whatever you need to do. But I'm a guy who daily knows that he needs Jesus. Amen? Anyone, any other guys in there? Just me? Okay, good for you. Some holy men up here. Come on. I do. I know I'm going to say something. I know I'm going to do something. I'm going to go hold back. Secondly, always remember that mercy is your mandate. Mercy needs to be at the center of all of this. Friends, please hear this. If you are living a life that's set apart, a holy life, and you're doing it because you think that's what gets you into heaven, and I do it because a pastor told me to, and I went to a conference that's set apart, that's a religious exercise, and it's not coming from a relationship with Jesus, and I promise you, it's going to be very, very unfulfilling, and very, very difficult, and very, very tiring. Mercy is our view. Mercy is where our eyes are set. Grace is where our hearts are at. And that is the way and the place and the center by which we become set apart. We live a holy life. We go out and do what God has called us to do. It's because of the cross of Jesus Christ. And finally, it's consistent little things that create lasting life change. There's a student in here that needed to read that. It's not always about the big moments, friends. It's not always about the big moments. Sometimes it's about doing little things often that'll actually create a momentum and honestly, a motivation like you've never had before. Every single day, think about that grace. Little conversations of encouragement, little moments of forgiveness, little moments where your needs come second or third or fourth. Would you stand together all across this room? Come on. We're going to sing a song in a moment, but I want to read to you the final thoughts here that Paul writes to this church in this place as a way that we would close our morning together. Would you close your eyes? Maybe find yourself in a place or a posture of worship. Verse 15 says this, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart." Oh Lord, I pray that would be the case here today. That person who's been here all weekend long, that student that's come that's felt conflicted this entire time, that has felt like they've wanted to give everything to you, but uncertain of how to do that. They're anxious or worried or even just exhausted at the idea of living a life that's set apart. God, I pray you would bring them peace. They would stand on peace. They would stand on who you are, God. That peace would rule their heart, would cover their soul. Let peace fall on this entire building, this entire church, this entire city. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, and says, members of the one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Would we be a thankful church? Would we be a thankful generation? Would we be a thankful son or daughter or mom or dad? Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Lord, let the cross be the thing that's on our minds. Lord, let your message of love and peace and goodness dwell in our hearts. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. Friends, I know you've been singing all weekend, but we're going to sing again in a moment. And finally, it says this, and whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. God, I pray we would be a church. We would be an island. We would be a place. We would be a people that whatever we do in word or in deed, indeed, we do it with Christ in our heart, with mercy in our view, with love as our mission and mandate. God, I just ask that peace would fall in this place, that peace would go to every school, that peace would go to every youth ministry, that peace would go to every church, that peace would dwell in our hearts, and as we go, Lord, that peace would come with us. God, I pray for that youth leader, that youth worker who's feeling burnt out, who's feeling tired, who's gone the distance, but God, I pray you'd let them go even further, that you'd give them a greater mission. Maybe it's just mercy that they needed to hear this morning. Maybe it's forgiveness they needed to hear, Lord. I ask in Jesus' mighty name that you would reign true in our hearts, true in our life, that we would be set apart but never set aside, that we would live fully for God, not dead for God, and that we would know you, believe in you, and live a life after you. It's in your incredible Son's name, Jesus, we pray. And all everybody said, come on, everybody said, come on, let's sing to God with gratitude and thankfulness.